Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
I want to talk to you tonight about a hope-filled life. And I found it interesting tonight, even in our prayer time, this sense, and we prayed into discouragement in the body. I believe God wants to instill in us hope. What do you think? Okay, all right, just check in. You're like, I don't know, I'm pretty hopeless about that. I think God wants to instill in us hope. And so we're going to take a look at Romans chapter 15. If you have your Bibles, you can turn. Romans chapter 15. We're going to read 7 through 13. I'm reading from the NIV. We're also going to have it on the screen, but if you want to turn in your Bible, please go ahead and do that. It's on my Bible, page 961. I don't know if that helps. No, probably not. Okay. And we're going to read it. If you want to follow along, please do so. This is the book of Romans written by Paul, and we're just going to look very briefly. We're going to focus on verse 13 tonight, but I just feel like we just want to give a little bit of context of what's happening. So verse 7, starting chapter 15 of Romans, verse 7 through 13. Accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God, for I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns to your name. Again it says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you people. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will rise to rule over the nations. Speaking of Jesus, this is a prophetic word from Isaiah, speaking of Jesus. The Gentiles will hope in him. Verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read that one more time. Verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we give you complete rein tonight to speak to us from your word, to speak to us from what you've already said to us tonight. We look to you and we ask you to guide us. Lord, we pray that you would instill hope deep into our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I woke up last Sunday morning. It was my 36th birthday. And I remember thinking this when I woke up. I thought, God has been so good to me. He's walked with me through every time of my life. And I was sitting on the edge of my bed, putting my shoes on, and I was just having this moment with Jesus. And my son walked in and he says, Dad, are you crying? And I said, I am. I said, Seth, God has been so faithful to me. He's been so good to me. He's given me hope. And I had this sense, he's given me hope all of my life. Hope of forgiveness, hope of healing, hope of restoration, hope of the future, the hope of the call of my life, the hope that he is in charge and I am not. And I was so moved and overwhelmed with a sense of hope that I had carried my whole life, not because of me, but because of Jesus in me. And I want to share with you tonight some thoughts on hope. And this is more of just thoughts, me dialoguing and processing with you about this verse, particularly verse 13, which we just read. The prayer of Paul to the church that may the God of hope fill you, be in you. But it's interesting, the way we use hope in our modern culture, in our modern conversations, is very different than how the Bible talks about it. Because we say, you know, I hope that movie is good. Or I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. Or I hope mom's cooking is as good as it was last Sunday. And there's this leaning or bent. We use hope in a way that has a negative connotation or wishful thinkings. I wish, I hope. It's, they're very similar. We can interchange them. But that is not what the Bible uses hope as. There's not a feeling of maybe involved in this word hope. In both the Old Testament and New Testament, hope is a very strong thing. It's a dependable thing. It's a reliable thing. And our hope is determined. I want you to hear this for a second. Our hope is determined by the reliability of the object in which we are placing our hope in. Because you can hope in whatever the heck you want to hope in. But if the object of your hope is not reliable, your hope is also unreliable. Does that make sense? So if I put my hope in something that is unreliable, guess what? My hope is unreliable. It isn't, there isn't there. There's no substance there. Our hope is only as good as whatever we are putting it in. It's important for us to understand that tonight. Especially in a world where it seems hopeless. Where do we put our hope? The dependability of whatever we're putting our hope in. It's not just doesn't have an impact on us. But it's the substance of which our hope is made up of, is whatever we're putting our hope in. But the other side is this. What is the good of something that is reliable, that is true, that is good, that is credible, that is wonderful, that is beautiful, that is powerful? What's the point of that? If we don't position our belief and our conviction that it is actually true, it is of no use to our hope if whatever we believe in, it's great, it's wonderful. If we don't posture our belief and our faith in that thing, that doesn't do any good either. So you have two sides. You can hope in something that's unreliable, therefore your hope is unreliable. Or you know something is reliable, but you refuse to put your hope in it. You come up bankrupt both times. So what is the point? That God is good, that God is kind, He's loving, He's just, He's forgiving, He's trustworthy, He's concerned with us, unless that's going to shape our relationship with Him. The one thing that determines our relationship with God is our faith. Do we believe that God is who He says He is? It's the question I'm confronted with. Hopefully it's the question you're confronted with tonight. And all of our grandeur and our language of how great and big and wonderful God is, the question is, do we really believe that's who He is? If we do, then His reality is able to shape our lives, and our expectation will rise in our hearts towards any circumstance we're facing, thus producing hope. And something happens in us. Something lifts enough. I don't know if you've ever been in a circumstance where you just, all of a sudden, you realize, I'm going to trust God through this time, through this pain, through this tragedy. And all of a sudden, something happens in us, and it lifts us. There's a poet, Emily Dickinson. She said this. She said in a poem that she wrote, I won't read the whole thing, but she says, hope is that thing with feathers. Like, it's a great, great picture of what hope is. It lifts us. And it's better than Red Bull, just so you know. The commercial says Red Bull, it gives you wing. Well, hope is that thing with feathers. It lifts us. It sees past what we can see with our physical eyes. It draws from the reality of what is not seen and infuses us with a different perspective. It's is in Isaiah 40, 31 says this, and we have it on the screen. It says, but those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. But those whose hope is where? In the Lord. In the substance of what is good. In the substance of what is rich and beautiful and good and trustworthy. Those whose hope, who put their trust in the Lord. I wonder if some of us here tonight, we read that scripture, we think, I wonder if some of us here tonight could say, you know what, maybe I've descended a bit. Maybe my hope is no longer soaring where it used to be or where I want it to be. And maybe you're here tonight and you feel like, you know what, maybe I'm at rock bottom. You don't need to ask me if I'm soaring. I'm not. I'm at rock bottom. And I want us to look tonight at this promise in Romans 15:13, which we just read. What a powerful verse and thought. It's full of promise. It's full of hope. It's full of possibilities. And my heart tonight is that God would infuse in us a sense of power. Many of us here have been through and are in the middle of situations that seem completely void of any hope. You turn on the news. You feel like you feel hopeless. Everything that's happening, it's hopeless. And your own circumstances may be the same. You may feel completely emotionally, hope bankrupt, nothing left. Whether it's a disappointment, you've walked through losing a loved one recently, or you've received a phone call that hit you like a punch in the gut, you've been betrayed, or you found yourself broken and battered in life, and you feel void of any hope. You have more questions than you do answers. It's important to talk about this. I remember I was in England about a year and a half ago, and my wife and kids were here at the time. And I was getting ready to preach at this church, and I got a phone call from my wife, and I answered it, and she was a mess on the other end. And I thought the worst. And she simply said, she could get out these words, she said, Dave Bell has died. And let me tell you who Dave Bell is. He was a mentor to me. He was a close friend to me. I know many of you have lost loved ones, and my heart goes out to you. I haven't had to walk through that valley of death. But Dave Bell was the pastor who believed in me from the moment he saw me, when no one else did. He gave me the chance to lead worship. He was a worship leader himself. He gave me the chance to preach. He had 5 sons. The oldest one was a couple years younger than me. He was leading and pastoring this church that had ministered to me, that had given me a chance. I remember one time we were doing worship together, and he was sitting at the piano. He's a brilliant piano player. And he said, "Jason, I want you to know, I see you as one of my own sons." And I had walked through this journey of actually going to England, chatting with him, talking it through. I had to wrestle with him because he didn't want me to leave. He wanted me to stay there. He wanted me to be on staff at the church. He was a spiritual father to me. And he loved me. So when I got that call, he was 60 years old. Very young. 62 years old. I just thought, there is nothing. There is no good that can come out of this. What's the point of this, God? What hope can be found in a situation like this? And we find ourselves in places of hopelessness through our journeys of life. And then we read a scripture like this. And you think, what does the Christian faith and belief say about these times, this time? When there is no hope, when you don't see any hope, when you don't feel any hope. And I remember thinking, what good is it that this life, this man who was leading and pastoring, their church gave away 50% to missions around the world. 50% of their budget went to missions. He had friends all over the world. He'd written songs. His family had planted churches in Japan. I mean, what is the good of this? His 5 sons left without a father. His wife left without a husband. A church left without a pastor. And me left without a friend. It was hopeless to me. But I remember deep inside of me knowing and feeling something that began to rise in me when I didn't understand, I didn't have words to this. And that one word that I felt in my heart was hope. And I thought, something good must come of this. Because hope is there when things seem hopeless. Hope is reliable. Hope is dependable. Hope is a gift to all who trust in Jesus Christ. It changes our hearts in every situation. Either we believe it or we don't. Either it shapes our view of the world and our circumstances or it doesn't. And this is something I pray tonight we can walk out of here inspired to keep on holding on to Him, to keep trusting Him, to keep alive the reality of His promises, to shape who we are and what we believe and how we live our lives is rooted in this substance called hope. One of the times I was asking God to define to me my ministry or my role in ministry, and seasons happen. And God spoke this to me very clearly. He says, your role is to extinguish the flames of hopelessness. The flames of hopelessness. I believe hopelessness is the greatest weapon used against the believers, used against you and I. Because once we become hopeless, once we put up the white flag, once we say, what's the point? Once we say, it doesn't matter, it's all going to pot anyway. Once we say, it's over. Once we throw the switch in our mind that there's nothing that can be done, it's over. We've lost the battle. We won't fight for it anymore. We won't look for anything anymore. We will give up. And Paul's whole ministry, as you read the New Testament, as he was writing to Romans, he was infusing hope to the church. And if you were to read the prayers, you would see a man determined to give the church hope, determined to give the saints hope. On the back of your notes tonight, I've given you 19 verses. Now, here's one thing which will give you hope tonight. We're not going to read all of these tonight, just so you know. But there are 19 verses of Paul's prayer for the church. When you get a chance this week, just pick one of them. Read it. Meditate on it. Let it percolate in your heart. It will infuse hope in you. We're a part of a church family here at this church, which situations for hopelessness confront us every day. That's the reality of life. It happens. It'd be silly for us to ignore it and to say it's not happening. It's happening in our midst. So the question is, what do we do with this Christian belief and faith, and how do we filter it through this thing of called hope? Paul was constantly reminding the church to trust in the mercy of God, trust in the love of God, trust in the kindness of God, trust in the discipline of God. Trust in the goodness of God. Trust in the mysteries of God. Through your pain, through your sorrow, and through your questions, hold on to hope. And as we prayed about tonight even, as you see the pain in Iraq, the suffering of the innocents, the evil seemingly winning, there is something in me that says there's still hope. There's still hope. And I wonder, what does hope look like for our brothers and sisters in Iraq or in the Middle East who are being persecuted? What does hope look like for them? What does hope look like for you who are struggling, limping through a marriage that's on the verge of falling over the cliff? What does hope look like for you? Or a family that someone is sick, and unless God intervenes on that person's behalf, they will be promoted into heaven. What does hope look like for you? Because hope offers something different in each of our circumstances, each of our life. And it's real. It looks different in each of our lives depending on our circumstances. And there would be no need for hope if everything was perfect. Heather Smith said tonight, there would be no need for hope if you could see it. It's something in you that says, there is still hope. But as followers of Jesus and those of us who put their trust in Jesus, there is this thing called faith, called belief, that chooses to reach deep into the darkness of our lives and grasp hold of the promises that God said belong to us. And we hold on to the greater reality than life itself. And that is found in trusting in Jesus. As I looked at this tonight and I prayed about it, was praying through it tonight as I was writing this, I thought, how do I communicate this in such a way that each of us in our different places of life can walk out of this room tonight with a fresh reality of hope? How do I do that? That we see God in such a way that brings hope to us. That brings hope to that some of us are facing financial crisis, or we're worried about our children, or we're worried about ourselves, or some of us are anxious just about life itself. Some of you may be on the verge of a great victory, but some of you are at the point of great despair. But the truth is that God is the God of hope for each of us, who gives us strength, who gives us determination, who gives us power. And here's the one point tonight, that God Himself is the source of hope. God Himself, nothing else. We've heard many times that the local church is the hope of the world. And in the right context, I totally believe that. But maybe more accurately would say that Jesus Christ, flowing freely through His bride, the church, you and me, is the hope of the world. Because we don't come to church to appease a God who demands our attendance. Or we don't read the Bible because we have to and God will strike us if we don't, though sometimes we may feel that way. We don't pray because it's a religious act or a hoop we jump through to please God. No, I come to church, and hopefully we come to church, to experience a God of hope in the midst of believers as we gather. As that, maybe that's what we sense tonight, a sense of hope. Or we read the Bible to find that to be confronted with an overabundant source of hope that resets our minds and how we see the world and how we see our circumstances. Or we pray to engage with a God whose very substance is hope itself, and He infuses that into us. This whole faith walking out, this believing, you and I, why do we live our lives? We live it with the source of hope burning in our hearts, knowing that He is real. And this prayer that Paul gives us is a sense of what God wants to put in us. And let's put up this again, that this Paul, read it and understand this, that may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. And there's the belief side, as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul speaks, it's funny here, he speaks of two different parts of the Trinity. He has God the Father, the great Father, the Godhead. And he says, may the God of hope fill you, but may you also have hope and joy by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the third person of the Trinity. And then Paul writes to the church in Colossae in 1:27, he says this, and we have this. He says, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of His glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. What? The hope of glory. The source of my hope is in the fullness of the Trinity of God. He who loves us, the Father who draws us, Jesus who redeems us, intercedes for us, the Holy Spirit who empowers us. This is a collective effort on whose behalf? Your behalf, to produce in you hope as we press into Him. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This book, the Bible, that tells us what God is like. There are words, these words that sustain us. And we read them. They're words that will fill our souls. And does God speak to us prophetically? Yes, He did. And yes, He does. Does He speak to us in this moment? Yes, He does. But this book right here that we hold, it is the primary means of how God communicates to us. And it gives us hope. It reveals to us Himself in us. It transforms our minds. It strengthens us. It strengthens our spirit. If we want to know what God's like, if you want to know, I wonder what God's really like. Well, let me show you. Open this book and begin to read what God's is like through the life of Jesus. How He interacts with people, how He heals the broken, how He restores the mute, how He brings healing to the deaf ears, how He gives the rejected people a safe place, how He challenges the religious. Do you want to know what hope looks like in a broken life? Look at the woman in the Bible with the issue of blood who had lost all hope, had spent everything she had. And she pressed in and touched the hem of a garment of the only man on the planet who could give her hope. And that was Jesus. If you want to know what hope is in a broken life, ask the woman. Read the account of the woman caught in adultery, surrounded by Pharisees and religious leaders with a stone in their hands, getting ready to beat this woman to death because of her sin. And Jesus arrives on the scene and gives hope to her. That's what hope looks like. Or the man who is being crucified next to Jesus on the cross, who makes a statement of belief in Jesus, and Jesus says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." He was a few breaths away from crossing into eternity. That's what hope looks like. Jesus is what hope looks like. If we want to see what it means to be a hope-filled community, which I believe God's called us as a church to be, we look at the churches in the Bible. We look at Ephesus. We look at Corinth. We look at Colossians, which is the book we have. And you'll find a common theme of each of these communities. You should read it. I think you would be surprised by what you read. You will find this common theme in the church, the great church. You will find this. They are all broken people. They get things wrong. They screw up. They make mistakes. They have people who fight, who disagree, who gossip, who sin, who break down their relationships. Hey, that sounds a lot like our church. This happens. Sounds like a lot like the church. And Paul continuously calls them this crazy word. He calls them saints. Blows me away. How can you call them saints and also correct them? How ridiculous they're living their lives. He's infusing hope, and hopefully that's what we're doing tonight. He reminds them that God is the God of hope, and He is at work in their lives, and there's no other source of hope for you and me than God Himself. The power of a hope-filled life. I said earlier that our hope is determined by the reality of its object and the act of believing in it. So the question is this, if that is true, what I said, how reliable is God the Father? How dependable is God the Son? How faithful is God the Holy Spirit? This is what we have to anchor ourselves in. When we feel hopeless, this is what we hold on to. As I was telling you Sunday, I was reflecting on my life and my journey as a Christian. I realized how much. The reason why I was so overwhelmed with hope, because I realized how much I had blown it. How much I had failed Him. How much I had disappointed Him. How much I had disobeyed Him. How much I had been faithless. But God never let me down. He never walked away from me. He never turned His back on me. Did He discipline me? Thank God He did. But He never left me an orphan. He gave me hope in the midst of my stubborn-headed knuckleheadedness. He gave me hope. This is a faithful God that you and I serve. You have hope tonight because of the God that you serve. The Bible has pictures of God. He says he's a rock, or he is an anchor. He is a fortress. He is a high tower. He is a defender. He is a mountain. And these are pictures that speak of his dependability and his reliability. This is our God. And I'm just fine confessing to you and confessing to God that I'm weak, that I'm fragile, that I'm broken, that here's the newsflash, I don't have it all together. That I need a Savior. And He is the one in whom my hope lies in. Not in me, in Him. Not in how good I am. How ridiculous of a statement is that? But in Him. Not in how perfect my life is, but in Him. That's where our hope lies in. Hope doesn't lie in you living your life and making all the right decisions at the right time, the right financial choices, the right. It lies in Jesus alone. Without Him, we have nothing to hope for. Nothing. Psalm 33, 20 through 21 says this. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him, our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. We wait in hope for Him because He is our help and our shield. He is the one who is with me and the one who is protecting me. He is my hope. That is who I put my hope in. If He is the object of our hope, how do we get that hope into action? How do we get Romans 15, 13 into action in our lives? We trust in Him. We believe in Him. And the object of Him is completely and utterly reliable. It is infallible. It is perfect. But the question is, do we trust Him? It is in believing that this hope becomes real to us. Do you trust Him? That's my challenge to you tonight. Do you trust Him? Do you trust Him through what you're walking through? Do you trust Him when you're struggling? Do you trust Him? Or would you rather trust your righteousness versus His righteousness? It is in believing that this hope, it's in trusting in Him that the hope begins to rise in us. Nothing else in this world is worth trusting. It has failed us all. Our bank accounts have failed us. Our titles have failed us. Our houses have failed us. Our jobs have failed us. As the psalmist David wrote, he said, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember, we will trust in the name of the Lord. He is our source of hope, and we will put our trust in Him. May tonight, may we have a hope in our spirit that nothing can destroy. Nothing can take away. I think about our brothers and sisters in Iraq that will not recant their faith, that will hold firm to their belief in Jesus Christ, even unto death. That's a hope. That this hope carries me even from this life to the next. That's what hope is made of. He is our source. Hope is not this notion that we're not going to go through tough times. Hope is not this notion that God's going to be the easy button in every situation. Hope is not this notion that everything's going to just be all right. Nothing bad's going to happen. I believe it's the reality that God is with us, even unto death. This is the hope that we hold on to. This is the essence. If you want to know the reality of hope, take it to the end. Take it to your life, passing from this world to the next. It doesn't make the transfer. It does. Therefore, it is worth more than gold. It's hope. I remember reading this story in closing in this. I remember reading the story out of the Fox's Book of Martyrs. A guy named Thomas Hawke. I love it. It's fascinating. And many of them were being persecuted because of their faith in Jesus. And they wouldn't recant. And there were six of them, and they were waiting to be brought out and be burnt at the stake alive. Thomas Hawk was the first one. And they were talking in fear, saying, I don't know if we can do this. I don't know if I can take this pain. And they said, Thomas, you're the first one out. If God's grace is sufficient, and you know that God is with you at that moment, to give us some sense of comfort, lift your hands over your head. So they came and they got Thomas. And they did this as a public demonstration to show the rest of the world, the rest of their community, listen, you don't follow Jesus this way. And they put a chain around his waist, and they walked him, and they pulled him to the stake, and they wrapped him, and they lit the fire, and the fire began to burn, and the other five watched as Thomas began to burn because of his faith. He slumped down, and his skin began to burn. And witnesses say that out of the flames, two arms shot up. And his skin was melted together. And he clapped his hands three times. And he put them back down. And he died. Thomas Hawk had faith. But he had hope. This is the hope that we're talking about. That no matter what we face, our hope will remain. Nothing will remove our hope and our trust in God. And maybe you think, well, that's only for spiritual giants. That's not even biblical. This gift of hope is only available for those who are weak, for those who say, I can't do this on my own, for those who say, I can't make everything work. This is not given to us because we come to church more, or we read the Bible more, or we pray more. This is through the surrendering and the falling on our knees and putting our trust in the empty cross, the empty tomb, and knowing this, in Romans 8, 38 through 39, knowing this, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's real hope. That's the only hope on this planet that's worth anything. It's that right there. Let's stand to our feet. Wherever you're at tonight, whatever journey you're on, whatever pain you're facing, whatever struggle you've walked through, your hope will look different. But the hope of Jesus that burns in your heart will be enough, and it will carry us through. Whether you're being burnt at the stake, whether you're being ripped out on the inside because of emotional pain, God is your only source of hope. And may we leave here tonight with a sense that no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, His hope remains in you. And you can face anything, and you can walk through anything, because of the hope of Jesus Christ, the hope of glory that is inside of your heart.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.